Hello and welcome all into the Bag Clan Fantasy Football Podcast. It is Wednesday, October 18th. I'm your host, Blake, joined by Robin Tyler. How are we doing, guys?
It
Hey, we're
is
doing pretty good.
Wednesday, my dudes. Yeah. Anybody
Awesome.
remember that meme from like 3 years ago, 4 years
No.
ago?
No, I don't.
No.
No. I mean, good try, though.
Got another great show for you guys out there. Talk about some news and injuries that happened over the weekend during football. Hit our transactions for our league. I don't think we have any games or anything this weekend. Then we'll get right into our matchups. A new Commissioner's Cup owner, first time ever holding it. We'll get into that when we get there. But before we get into our next event, you guys got, let's see. Let me post something to you rather than just saying how you doing. Let's go.
Okay.
If you were to rate this NFL season, just in general, not fantasy in particular, on a scale of let's just do 1 to 10. That's nice and easy. How is this one matching up to other recent NFL years? Tyler, go first.
Pain.
Scale of 0 to pain.
I will not be elaborating.
Cool. Rob?
I mean, I'm going to go with a 5. And the reason being is when we've talked about every week when we watch football, I have no idea what's going on. 1 week, a team looks great. And then the next week, they look like garbage. It's like everything's going to the funneling into the middle. So it's a 5. Everybody can beat anybody except the Bears.
Yeah, I think to give a real answer, we've seen, I think, a historic pace on the unders this year. And I think that has shown in the games. And, you know, we've seen it in fantasy where unless you have whatever Dolphins player goes off that week, good luck. Right. So you know, there have been several, I guess, guesses on what is causing it, but I got to think that it's the offensive line play and, you know, how these offensive linemen aren't ready to come into the league anymore. It's just so much harder nowadays to come in and be good right away.
Yeah, I think it has also a little bit to do with the shortened preseason and the extra game. People are training differently or getting ramped up differently. And so all these teams have these slow starts, and you're seeing that, I think.
Yeah, it's definitely weird. Last year, it felt like the beginning of the end of running backs, and it was like no running back was performing well, and offenses had just slowed down, and it was so weird. And it's just like I thought that we'd get, you know, on the uphill stride of that this year, things would get back into normal shape. And it's just continued into that weird stretch of, yeah, offenses are producing less unless it's the year of the Dolphins. Thanks, Raheem Mostert.
Right.
But yeah, it just, and the injuries are just keep piling up, and it's just a weird time for the NFL.
Yep.
So let's get into our news segment. All right. I didn't know if we had, you didn't give me a motion or anything, Tyler. I didn't know if we had the knock, knock, it's the news again.
No.
You never tell me.
I gotta sprinkle that in, you know, periodically.
People think that I run this show terribly, but really it's because you don't help at all.
Oh,
really.
No. People think that you run the show terribly because they see what happens when I'm gone.
Okay. No, so you're talking about that the week one where I definitely played all of the fucking bumpers during the recording.
Well, you sure didn't share them. You sure didn't share them to the, you know, sound recording.
Played every single one of them, and I loved it.
Yeah, because right. I heard them, so it was for me. It was an audience of one.
Getting into
that's all this podcast is for anyway. We don't have any people listening to us.
That's true. Getting into our news today, it's mainly injury, and then I have just a topic to discuss at the end, but. I'm going to start off with probably my personally most interesting news is Kyler Murray has finally been designated for return from IR. When is he coming back? What's the window do you think he returns to the field and into that starting lineup for the Cardinals? They've kind of having to slow down a little bit, but they still are more impressive than I thought they were going to be going into this year.
Yeah, he's following exactly the schedule that we all thought. I believe at the start of the year or even last year, they were like, yeah, week 10 next year is like the latest he should be ready. And it's, we're going into week 7 and they're starting the 21 day window. So it's exactly perfect. You know, it's not one of those where I'm concerned that they're rushing him back or anything like that. Yeah, he might not be as mobile this year. You know, he might take the Burrow route from a couple of years back and just be more of a pocket passer, especially in a year that doesn't matter for the Cardinals. Like, hey, Kyler, work on being a pocket passer, you know, work on winning with your arm and then, you know, come back next year with, you know, if it is still the Cardinals, assuming that they don't get the number one overall pick, you know, come back next year and be a leader, be the quarterback, or go to a new team when the Cardinals draft Caleb Williams and they're going to give you a bunch of money to be the quarterback there.
There you go. I think I saw something today that he thought he'd be ready within 2 weeks to play. So yeah, like you said, this is week 7. So week 9 and the projection was 10. So I think you're right. He's right in there.
By the way, another easy reason why Kyler got taken off the IR, the Modern Warfare beta just closed on Monday. So
there you go. He's got no reason to stay home.
I played 2 matches of that last weekend. It was thoroughly disappointing.
I heard it described as the worst game I've ever played.
I had a great like 4 minutes with the shotgun, and that was it. The rest of the time was horrible. Moving on to another quarterback, Justin Fields got hurt on Sunday, thumb injury on his throwing hand. Went out, I think it was early in the game, like in the second quarter or halftime, something like that. He missed the majority of that game. Doubtful going into this Sunday. I think he's pretty much out.
Yeah, it's a dislocated thumb. And right now he doesn't have the hand strength to grip the ball. So they're working on that because obviously you can't throw, you know, football without hand strength. And these guys that throw at the NFL level have extreme hand strength to be able to, you know, spiral it 30, 40 yards down the field. And he can't do that right now. So it's going to be for sure this week. It might be another 1 or 2 after that.
Yeah. I mean, it surgery is not out of the question for Justin Fields. And I don't know when their bye week is. I will work on finding that though. Yeah. Surgery is not out of the question. If they do surgery, didn't Russ have a similar, he broke his,
yeah, he broke,
he broke his hand. And that's
13 was the bye.
13.
13,
yeah. Okay, so that, you know, that's not going to come into play, but you know, if they do surgery, then IR is a consideration. But I think they have to make that decision by Saturday in order for it to count this week as one of the four
retroactively, or I mean, yes, for this Sunday to count as week 1 of
right.
It, yes.
How does it adjust your you know, fantasy assets on the Bears in general? Darnell Mooney has obviously been dropped in our league. That's what guy I just clicked on, but DJ Moore, Cole Kmet.
I mean,
downgrades Moore, to everyone except for maybe the running backs.
I mean, unfortunately, Montgomery's out too. DJ Moore, his ceiling goes away, right? He's not going to get a bazillion yards and catches like he did, 2 weeks ago when he got like 230 or something against the Commanders. So that ceiling, I think, goes away with whoever they play, at quarterback, but. I still think he's going to get enough targets because he's still got like 40% of the targets that he got in the game with the backup last week. So I think they'll still throw his way because he had like a 19-yarder and a 23-yarder or something like that afterwards. So he'll still get those kinds of – he'll be – you know, you're going to play him. Kmet, that's a different story. Like you mentioned him, I think he goes down drastically.
I think the one thing we need to consider here is the backup who, what is it, Tyson Bagnett? Is that his name?
Yes.
Something like that.
Baggins.
In December, he was playing against the Colorado School of the Mines and threw 2 interceptions and was sacked 8 times. So that shows you the level of competition that he was playing with or against in college.
And isn't the other quarterback they have, Nathan Peterman?
I don't know where Peterman is right now.
It might be in Chicago. He of the why does he still have a job fame?
All right, let's talk about Anthony Richardson, folks.
Oh, sadness for Richardson owners.
Yeah, news came out. I think that was this morning where when it turned official. The rumors were circling that he is going to have surgery on that shoulder, and it's going to end his season. I don't know what the recovery is on that. It was AC joint sprain or something yes. like that, right? That they're going to go in there and fix. So I don't know what the recovery timing is on that. What he's going to look like next year, but how does it affect with a full week of preparation? Gardner Minshew is not coming in the second half to relieve, and he's a new thing for the defense to deal with. But Gardner Minshew with the starter for this offense the rest of the year, how does that affect the Colts offense, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think in a weird way it helps the Colts offense because now you plan for the quarterback you have rather than scheming one way and then all of a sudden you are forced to go to Gardner Minshew in the second half. As far as Anthony Richardson goes, I think it's pretty clear at this point that they learned their lesson with pushing Andrew Luck through injury and him just finally going, nope, I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore. And I don't think they want to do that with Anthony Richardson. So I think especially it being his first year and, especially with the defense not being where they want it to be, I don't see a reason for them to push their rookie quarterback who showed you flashes to say, hey, this guy can do it, at least in a small sample. Let's not push him back onto the field in a year that, again, we're probably not winning, even a playoff game.
Yeah, I'm with you on that 100%. And you made a comment a week or two ago about the fact that he had a problem with that shoulder in college. And so they're super smart just to shut him down for the year and make it sure it's right, because you don't want this to be a recurring thing that this, like you, I think you mentioned, former running back for Minnesota, who's now with the Jets. Thank you, Dalvin. All I could think of was James Cook. Anyway, Dalvin Cook had that dislocated shoulder all the time. Every time he fell wrong, it dislocated. So that was a thing that just kept going. So I agreed. It's a smart thing. And he showed that he can play in the NFL.
Yeah, I like I said, I think this is good for him long term. The only thing that concerns me is anytime you have somebody throwing, and obviously I watch a lot of baseball, right? Shoulders are bad at healing. Like, they just don't heal well. And like you see in baseball all the time, if you tear a labrum, that's like death for playing third base and stuff like that, because you never get that throw power back, or it takes years. And so if they get into that shoulder and they go, oh, there's more to it than we think. And, by all means, they had I think I heard that they had five different perspectives yes. on this shoulder. Yes. And so, I think it's going to be one of those where they're going to get in there. They're going to figure out what's wrong while they're doing the surgery. And if it's, like I said, if it's like a labrum or something like that, there's a non-zero chance that this permanently affects his ability to throw the ball. And I'm not banking on that for any sort of dynasty or anything like that. No more than I would build in, more injury risk to that shoulder, stuff like that. But, it is very, very concerning for a quarterback to have a shoulder injury like this.
Yeah. It sucks for the young guy. I mean, I just kind of feel terrible about situations that happens to, cause I for one often forget, especially when we're watching football, like these guys are in their 20s by and large. Travis Kelce is only a few years older than Tyler and I. It's crazy, but we'd be like, we put these guys on a pedestal, like, oh yeah, they're so experienced and so everything. Anthony Richardson's what, 21? It's like 20,
yeah, he was super young.
That just sucks. That sucks so hard. Remember, if you're 21 and your entire life is ahead of you, you're gonna make millions of dollars in the NFL, and now it's like all up in the air. And I so feel for that guy.
Yeah, but, and the only good part about that is he is super young, so his body's never going to recover better than it will now, right?
Yeah, 100%.
All right, so let's talk about David Montgomery. Rob, you alluded to him while talking to the Bears. He actually plays for the Lions, in case you didn't know that.
You're right, I do.
you were right.
I had a flashback.
I don't think he's been ruled out this week yet, but
is. It's Herbert that's out, and Roshan Johnson was out last week, blah, blah, blah. Sorry.
But Dave Montgomery sustained a rib injury during the game on Sunday with the Buccaneers. Missed three quarters of that game. I think he's still listed as questionable, but he's pretty much doubtful to me. I don't think he comes in on Sunday this week. So You know, that sucks for Montgomery owners. He's been a fucking monster with Detroit.
Yeah, they have a bye in 2 weeks, so it makes sense that he would be out through the bye. And, I mean, the thing is Detroit is, and I literally was just, I always scroll Twitter while we're doing the podcast, because it seems like these Wednesday afternoons is when you get these kind of news dumps or stat dumps. In the red zone, Detroit is running the ball 20% more than expected, or passing the ball 20% less than expected. The next closest is the Colts with, like, I don't know, 12, something like that. Like, they just run the ball a stupid amount in the red zone. And obviously we saw with Jamal Williams last year, we're seeing it with David Montgomery this year, that this is a coaching decision, not a, you know, a player talent thing. And we need to bake it into the Detroit running backs going forward.
Yeah. 100%. I mean, for this week, it looks like Jahmyr Gibbs might be back. He was limited today. And Craig Reynolds, who, like, played most of the snaps after Montgomery went out, he's got his own problems. He's got a hamstring and toe issue, two issues. I guess it could be the Jahmyr Gibbs show, which they still haven't shown that when he plays by himself that they're willing to pound him. They like him in that spread role. So I don't know who's going to do it if Reynolds doesn't play.
Are we still doing phrasing?
No.
Okay.
He can pound it. It's fine.
Let's see. I mean, there's a shit ton of people that were limited in practices today or missed practice. I'm not going to mention all those, but I do want to bring up Devonta Smith, which didn't have an injury coming out of last Sunday, as far as I know, but came up today limited in practice with a hamstring injury. For a burner receiver like him, that's concerning.
I mean, yeah, maybe that's why I don't know if it happened during the game, maybe. And that's why he only, you know, ended up with, what, two catches or something like that last week? You know, against a team that's not that great. And weren't they playing the Patriots, I think, in
Miami.
Coach's Revenge? Or, oh, I'm sorry. No. Raiders, right? Devontae Adams?
No, we're talking about Devonta Smith.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said Devontae Adams. Because he's injury designated, too. I'm sorry.
Do you need to, like, take a quick old man nap or something to be, like, with us? Or
yeah, heard Devontae and just assumed Adams. Okay, so Devonta Smith. Yeah, well, I mean, for a burner, that is a problem this week. So I don't know. I mean, he has only had one, you know, what you would call one boom game. And then I think that was week two. I'm not 100% sure on that. So it is bad going to this game where you expect it to be a shootout. You would like him out there.
Yeah, I mean, so you don't like seeing this pop up on a Wednesday, you know, midweek, stuff like that. I do think that, you know, I saw at least one tweet that said that he may have been dealing with this since that week two game where,
oh, really?
Yeah, okay. He had a blow up, but it was four catches on five targets. So, you know, maybe, but if he's dealing with a true strain and not just tightness, more than likely he's going to miss at least this game, if not one more, which is no good for my fantasy team, which we'll see in a second.
All right. I was going to have us, or, you know, just have us talk about the Aaron Rodgers recovery and everything, because all the sports talking heads are fascinated that he's walking without a boot or crutch. But I decided to pivot that because who wants to talk more about Aaron Rodgers?
Not me.
I want to present to each. I want each of you to, on the spot, tell me your top three power rankings of the NFL teams as it sits right now. And you can do, or let's do top four. Top two on each side. Top two AFC. Top two NFC.
Okay.
Well, I think it's NFC. Easy.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say NFC is easy. It's the 49ers. Yeah, I know that they lost last week, but Jim Schwartz has Shanahan's number. I think Shanahan is 1-10 against Jim Schwartz defenses at this point. So 49ers still easy. Number one, I do think on the AFC side, you know, right now, I think you have to call the Dolphins number one, especially since they have Jalen Ramsey. We forget about that. Jalen Ramsey is coming back at some point this year. For that defense, you know, for a playoff run. And until somebody stops that offense consistently, you know, I you have to say that they're borderline unstoppable right now. And then, you know, you get into kind of that second tier of teams, you know, do we think the Eagles are for real? They certainly haven't looked like the team they were last year, although they're 5-1, but they have a, I believe, a very difficult stretch of games coming up. You know, we know what kind of the Cowboys are. They're what they are every year. You know, they're going to get to the playoffs, maybe win one game and then lose a heartbreaker. You know, the Lions are 5-1 and looking good, but
I think it's so easy to fill that number two spot if you don't feel brave enough to put a number one in the NFC, and it has to be the Lions.
Yeah,
it has to be Detroit. They're one or two in the NFC right now, and the Eagles, like you said, I don't think they look it. I would be brave enough to put them at number one.
I don't think I'd be brave enough to put them at one.
No.
I still think the 49ers, I agree with Tyler that the 49ers are one. You can make the case for the Lions or Eagles at two. The Eagles don't look like last year, but they're looking better and better each week. They do have a new offensive coordinator. They're doing things differently, and their defense has been like super banged up. If that continues, obviously I think that takes them down a notch. But I think you fine there. AFC is difficult. You have Miami up there, but they always seem to find a way to trip up at the end of the year. So I just don't trust them. Kansas City has warts, and you can see them obviously when you watch them play. Mahomes is not on the tear that he was last year when he had no receivers. They even made a trade to bring
Mecole Hardman.
Mecole Hardman, because their receivers are just who knew that Juju Smith-Schuster was that good for them. But until proven otherwise, Kansas City has got to be up there. And you would think the Bills would be, but I just see them making too many mistakes and just not winning the games they should. But those are the three in the AFC. And in the end, Kansas City will probably rise to the top because they have the coaching, and they always do.
Cool. Yeah, let's get into some transactions then.
This shit's unbelievable. I checked the accounts receivable. It's inconceivable to think that you would fuck with me on the brink of my transactions.
All right, so we had a trade last Friday. It was an icky swap between the Fly Eagles Fly and the Scary Terry.
It was Friday the 13th. It was a bad luck swap.
Scary Terry trades Elijah Mitchell and Najee Harris to the Fly Eagles Fly in return for Miles Sanders and Amari DiMarcado. I mean, Tyler, give me a sentence or two on this icky swap, and then we'll let Rob just describe how the conversation went.
Oh, boy. I mean, I don't like anybody in this. Miles Sanders, certainly, it seems like his injury is worse than what was let on last week, so he may miss more time, and Chuba Hubbard's looked good. We've talked about how disappointing it's been that Miles Sanders hasn't taken advantage of this opportunity. So I think Rob clearly gets the best here, but I don't like Najee Harris, but at least he gets the handcuff to CMC, which I think was the linchpin to this entire trade.
Okay. So yes, 100%. That was it. We had talked about it over a period of 2 days. And then I just finally said, you know, screw it. I'm more concerned about, and obviously this was Friday before what happened to CMC on Sunday. So yeah, I was like, okay, I get Elijah Mitchell, Najee Harris, whatever, who cares? He's the same as Miles Sanders. They're, you know, as far as what production is going to be. And the DiMarcado was a question mark going in. Obviously, after the fact where DiMarcado didn't do much, and Mitchell's now the backup in case CMC misses time, I like that I did it. But that was the whole point, was let's get rid of some uglies at the bottom of our roster, and why not? And Terry was like, he's got to do something. He's 1-5.
All right, so as far as our waivers that ran, we got Michael Mayer, tied in for the Vegases, added to the T-Bags. Luke Musgrave also added to the T-Bags, turning up some tight ends there.
I love both of those pickups, by the way. For $0, absolutely love that.
Yep. Hot Snakes, I added the Raiders defense I had two defenses out there. I got this one. They were just matchups. The Cowboys are on a bye this week, so Raiders are playing somebody terrible.
The Bears with a backup.
Yeah, yeah. Bears with a backup.
Yeah, so there you go. That's
good. I love that. With the $0 ad, I was okay with that. Let's see. How the Commanders defense added to the Shakas. Good luck, Shakas. When I picked up the Commanders defense because of great matchup against the Bears, ironically, that was right? DJ Moore's 250-yard game. So
Yeah,
but the Giants are objectively worse than the Bears offense.
The Giants almost put it to the fucking Bills last week, last week. So
yeah, and Tyrod may play again, and he's actually efficient. So
yeah, I'm riding with the Commanders in a different league, and I am not worried.
All right.
Iowa Corn Wieners add Sam Howell for $2. There was a $0 bid that the T-Bags put out there. Wandale Robinson, receiver for the Giants, added to Fly Eagles Fly for $3. Is that a Tyler frustrated there?
That topped to Tyler $2 bid.
I just saw that. I picked him up because since we're PPR, Quentin Johnson was just, he's not, after the bye, I thought, oh, I'm going to see one more week, see if he becomes part of the offense. He really wasn't. So he's, you know, a 3 for 80 at your best type guy, you know, deep downfield. Wandell gets targets. I mean, so let's go. I could have worse on the bench.
We got a $15 ad for Jordan Mason to the Shakas, dropping Jerick McKinnon. A $15 ad to the Scary Terry, getting Zach Evans, running back for the Rams, dropping the Vikings D. And then a big old splash-a-rooski. I don't make any waiver ads, but when I do, I throw 50 buckaroos down on Kareem Hunt, of all people.
Yeah. Right. Do we think that this was legitimately just Nate trying to put in a $5 bid and accidentally add him a zero? Because that's the only way this makes sense. I know Nate listens every week, and I think he's an idiot. I don't think Nate knows what money is. I think Nate just went, oh, I can give a squiggly line and a circle for this guy. That makes sense.
No. I think
we're just throwing $50 around. What is this? 2020 America? You could just make money, show up out of thin air. How does this work? What are you? The US Treasury? What the fuck is happening right now?
For our year end podcast, can we add a category of worst edition? For a team, and then black out everybody else's teams and only review Nate's, and it's obviously this one.
Yeah, well,
what is happening? Is this?
Can I defend Nate for 10-2 at least?
You can try to.
You can defend Nate if you want to sound like a fucking idiot.
No, not defend the pick or not defend the money, but here's why I think he did it. I think he looked at the amount of money that everybody had to pay, and he was like, my team sucks. I'm 1-5. I'm awful. I don't have any running backs. Hey, Kareem Hunt is not a fix for a week or two.
Then he's spend money the year. Last 7 weeks.
But he never spends money on free agency. How many times has he gone to the end of the year with still $90 or more in his fab? This is the first time he's ever spent anything. And he was like, you know what? I just want him $50. Nobody else is spending more than that. Screw it.
Hey, but you know what's crazy is you text Nate for a trade and you say, Nate, I just need fab. I'm willing to give you a player. Just give me 25 fab. He's like, no, I might need that. For what? For Kareem Hunt? You're going to spend $50 on Kareem Hunt? And then when I text you and say, I need fab, you're going to go, no. Oh, no, I can't give up my fab.
Well, I wasn't defending per se. I was giving you what I think his thought process was. We'll find out if that was real or not when he texts us at midnight. Nate's thought process was
the sound of the ice cream truck rolling down the street. And then when it goes pop, he went, ah, because it scared him in his own mind.
That's a jack-in-the-box, not an ice cream truck, you fool.
Well, they sometimes do the pop goes the weasel for an ice cream truck.
Yeah. Yes.
Sure, why not? Why wouldn't they?
Sure, why not? It's not like those are two completely mutually exclusive sounds.
Who knows?
Nate won't know the difference. It's not like he knows music either. Here's what happened.
Here's what happened here.
Nate watches two football teams, the Iowa Hawkeyes and the Chicago Bears. So Nate has no idea what offense looks like. So he went, oh, a running back? got 45 yards. My team's average 45 yards. I'm going to spend all the money on him.
Oh, boy. All right. That's all we got for additions. Let's get into our matchups.
Go Bulldogs!
Yale Bulldogs!
Wow.
Not so fast!
All right, yeah, first matchup is starting off with a fucking bang here. We got the 2-5-1 Giants, Cut My Teabags, and Hawaiian Shakas. Currently, the Teabags are projected 131, and the Shakas projected 144. So, close-ish, close adjacent, but not really.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, this is not going to be as close as the records say.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, methinks that Teabags is getting... I don't know what's fucking him up. But anyways,
he's got an injury and bye problems, but we'll get there.
I mean, we could just skip this matchup and say Shakas wins, move on.
No, let's at least go through it with the new format. Here we go.
Yeah, Teabags. We're going to have Joshua Dobbs at Seattle for quarterback. The running backs are Brian Johnson and Craig Reynolds. Craig Reynolds carrying that cue, just like you were talking about earlier, Rob. Receivers, Tyreek Hill and Chris Olave. Tight end Luke Musgrave, flex Cooper Kupp, and Gabe Davis with the Lions D at Baltimore. What do you think about this starting lineup? Let's go. I mean, Rob, why don't you and I talk about it?
Sure. I mean, Josh Dobbs, Seattle not the best defense. He started out great, but he's kind of come back down to earth. So, I mean, I don't know how much I like Josh Dobbs. If he gets you 20, you'll be happy. Robinson, great. Craig Reynolds, problem, hamstring and toe, both things you don't want a running back to have. There's thought he might not even play. Tyreek Hill's been great. Olave, fine. Musgrave, awesome. Denver's terrible against tight ends. Cooper Kupp's been great since he's been back. Gabe Davis has been very good this year, and we like the Lions. I like them better as a defense at home than on the road. And I actually do like Baltimore this week, but I think that they'll do fine. But yeah, not great. You've got two really big holes here in Josh Dobbs and Craig Reynolds.
Yeah, so obviously Justin Fields on the bench really hurts, or not on the bench, but injury really hurts you with this team. Kyren Williams, well, that's an injury that we didn't talk about at the top. But he is out. What was his injury last week?
I think it's a
sprained ankle.
Or an ankle, yeah. And he's not going to go on IR, but it's going to be probably 2 weeks at least.
Yeah, and he's been the RB4 on the week, according to ESPN here. So those are two big hits for you. Derrick Henry's on the bye. So, I mean, Rashid Shaheed's getting some work, but I don't think you start him, Rob. And Jameson Williams got a nice long touchdown last week, but that was his, second catch? Yeah. So, I mean, do you plug any of these guys in? And then it's the question of Michael Mayer or Luke Musgrave in your tight end.
So the only thing I would – even toy with, you already talked about how much they're down 14 points going into this, roughly. Maybe instead of Gabe Davis, maybe you shoot for the moon and you do put Rashid in there, because he's a big play waiting to happen, and that's a shoot for the moon shot, right?
And yeah, on Thursday night, Williams. If you stack up Olave, well, I guess you would be stacking Olave and Shaheed, which is the only problem.
Ooh,
but
yeah, I didn't see that. No.
If you want to go for that shoot the moon, I'd go Jameson Williams, because they're basically the same player. They play the same role on their respective teams. Last week, they each had two catches for 85 yards and a touchdown for Shaheed, and 53 yards and a touchdown for Williams. So you're basically the same thing. Goff played well throwing well with the loss of Montgomery on the road last week, which that was just his bugaboo, and they're playing on the road this week. Granted, it's at Baltimore, which might be a better passing defense, whereas the Bucs are more of a run defense as far as their specialization. But no, I think you're starting the best lineup you can here.
I think you are too. Yep.
All right, Tyler, the Shakas. We've got Tua at Philly, Ramondre Stevenson and Jahmyr Gibbs at the running back spot, both carrying Qs. We know about Gibbs. Ramondre's been beaten up like he always is. Receivers, Stephon Diggs and DJ Moore. Tight end, Darren Waller. Tyler Lockett and DeAndre Swift in the flex spots with the Commanders defense at the Giants.
Yeah, I mean, I think that this Philly Miami game is the one game this slate that I think could turn into a shootout. So I really like all participating parties in that game. So love Tua, even though you're going to get sniped with Tyreek a little bit. That's fine for me. As far as Stevenson and Gibbs go, you know, both carrying the questionable tags, but I like Stevenson's the only piece in that New England offense that I would play. And obviously we talked about Gibbs already at receiver. You know, I don't see anybody here that I wouldn't start between Diggs and Moore. Waller, I don't know, man. I don't know what you do with Waller anymore. He's just never going to be a thing again.
I do want to, can we just talk on Waller for a little bit? I mean, that's all the high hopes and everything in training camp before the season started. It was like, oh, Daniel Jones is throwing only to Waller. He's the only guy doing anything. Does that just mean that the Giants defense was that bad that Waller was playing that well in training camp and stuff? Because he's been ass and that offense has been ass.
Yes, I think it's that their defense is that bad. And then at flex, we just got the questionable tag put on Tyler Lockett today. So I'm not sure what that is exactly.
I don't see a Q on him at all right now.
Yeah, so he literally just got put on. Limited with a hamstring. So you don't love to see, again, one of those pop up midweek. And like I said, Swift, I'm playing everybody, anybody and everybody in that matchup. So floating into the bench, let's assume Lockett is out. There's really not a ton here you can do. I don't think you're waiting. Yeah, you have nothing to play Monday night if Mason doesn't go. Or if CMC does go, I mean. So I don't think you can wait there. I think you're just going to have to flip over to Gibson or Javonte. But as it stands right now, I think you have your best lineup.
Yeah. Gibson got a touchdown last week, catching for a yard. But that is literally all he did all day.
Right. Right.
And Javonte, I mean, that he had 10 carries, just didn't look efficient last week, the Denver offense in general. So. All right. Yeah, like you said, it's a pretty easy call. It kind of sucks for the 5-1 teabags, but you're going to probably be 5-2 at the end of this week.
Yep. And I got the dice this week, and the dice rolled Shakas. So I assume I can put that as clean sweep.
You sure can.
Perfect.
All right. Next matchup is the 3-3 backdoor hot snakes. Asterisk future 3-4 backdoor hot snakes. Playing against the current 4-2 future 5-2 fantasy reapers.
Oh, it's the two of you. How are we doing this? Am I going through your just listening and have you guys each, talk about you or what?
We each talk about our own teams.
All right.
I'm projected 135. Tyler is projected 143. I've got Josh Allen at New England with that questionable tag. I mean, he's usually questionable, but what is this one?
I think it was a shoulder, but I'm not 100%.
Yeah, it's been his shoulder all year.
Right, yeah. Shoulder. So
yeah.
Running backs, now, Austin Eckler and Jalen Warren. Excuse me. I like their matchups this week. Austin Eckler is going to be up. He was super inefficient against the Dallas defense, but that defensive line is really good. The Kansas City defensive line is good, but I don't think it's as good. Jalen Warren, he actually gets some receiving work from him. We've got Amari Cooper and George Pickens both on the road this week. I mean, P.J. Walker is probably going to be playing again for the Browns because Deshaun Watson came out and said today that he is day-to-day and doubtful for this weekend. I don't think Deshaun Watson is going to play this weekend. And P.J. Walker is, say what you want about him, he'll throw the ball downfield. And Amari Cooper had basically 100 yards last week. George Pickens at the Rams should get some good work. I've got Sam Laporta, still questionable with that calf injury. Drake London and Mike Evans are in my flex spots with the Raiders defense at Chicago. So I got a lot of buys going on downstairs that really affect this lineup. I like the work that Drake London has been getting in the last couple weeks. like we talked about a couple weeks ago, Tyler, and I think it was you who brought it up. London and Pitts, hang on to those guys, because as this offense evolves, and whether Ritter is replaced or is, if he's, you know, threatened with replacement, is going to have to feed into some more passing and be a little bit more of an efficient offense, get, take some risks, do some stuff. And he's, and Drake London's been getting a lot of work. Mike Evans, a decent week last week against Detroit, should do well against Atlanta this week. I don't have a lot of options on my bench. Debo Samuel, if he's healthy, but he's playing Monday night, so I think he's going to stay on the bench this week. And that's basically all I got.
Yeah, I think the only downside you see with London specifically is they just played the Commanders, who you said 2 weeks ago gave up 230 to DJ Moore, and yeah, then gave up 120 to Drake London. So, you know, I think, unfortunately, you have to kind of throw that out. And he's been fine, you know, most of the year, outside of, I think he had one goose. But I don't think that you can look at that and say, oh, well, that's his upside, outside of a just incredible matchup.
Yeah, and it's dangerous to play two Steelers.
That
it
is
just is. It just is. I mean, is. You kind of have to, just by the way the buys have come and who you have, but that I would feel icky about that.
It is, but I'm definitely not going to be playing Justice Hill against Detroit.
Yeah, also true. So, yeah, so, that's what I'm saying. You don't really have a choice.
Jaleel McLaughlin is an interesting option. I mean, he's still on my team after I picked him up and played him that first week for 13 fab, and he got me 17 points. He got only nine opportunities last week, but I don't think he's going to find a way in this lineup, and we'll see what he is. He might be a drop candidate next week. So, Tyler, you want to go ahead?
Yeah, so at quarterback, I have Patrick Mahomes. I don't have any other quarterbacks that are eligible to play this week, so he will be playing. At running back, this is where Tyler gets into the big oof territory. We got Jerome Ford in what we said when I picked him up, that this was going to be the first possible game I could realistically play him. I think he's looked good in bad matchups so far. So I'm just hoping that good tape continues against Indy, and Keontae Ingram at Seattle. Keontae Ingram, what did he do? 10 for 40 last week against the Rams. I just need a warm body there.
Yeah.
At receiver, I have Devonta Smith currently in my lineup, which may not happen. We'll see. And Calvin Ridley at New Orleans. Calvin Ridley kind of not looking too goo right now.
He had that great first week, Tyler. He had to be thinking, oh, God, I struck gold.
Right.
And then they remembered, oh, we have Christian Kirk. I forgot about him.
Right. And ever since then, I think Christian Kirk's like the wide receiver 18 and Calvin Ridley's wide receiver 26 or something like that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We'll see. Travis Kelce, a tight end. I am looking for a replacement there, but, you know, I guess I'll deal with having Travis Kelce if I have to. At the flex, I have Hollywood Brown at Seattle. Love that matchup for Hollywood. Seattle's terrible in the secondary. And Michael Pittman versus Cleveland. Hate that matchup. I don't want to play any Colts this week against Cleveland. And then at defense, because I just said that, I have Cleveland, because I don't want to play any Colts against Cleveland.
Oh, are you a masochist?
Basically. On the bench, I have even more buys than Blake does, so I don't know why he was whining about it. So literally all I have is Marvin Mims and Jaden Reed. I could toy with Jaden Reed. I'm not going to feel the worst in the world if I have to play him over Devonta Smith against a bad Denver secondary, but I would rather have Musgrave if I'm going to play a Packer. So, yeah, that, I mean, I'm kind of playing the hand I'm dealt this week.
Yeah, I mean, I get what you're doing across. You don't have much of a choice. The Browns are a better real-life defense than they are fantasy. I think they've only gotten double digits once, and that was against Tennessee.
Twice. They got...
Oh, twice?
But they've been 9, 10, 14, 7, 9.
Yeah, I mean, so... Yeah, okay, you're right, 10. Forgot about that. Against Pittsburgh, another shitty team.
Yes.
And we did see last week, Garner threw two picks, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Blake did say earlier in the podcast, maybe that with a full week of prep, knowing he's a starter... That's a different story. Who knows? I don't know. But let's just say that you're right. There's nothing you can't do anything different. This is it. Except for what you said, that maybe you throw Reed in there. Maybe you throw, go crazy and throw Mims in there. Otherwise,
let's just go off on a coach right now. Sure. Do you see the quote from Sean Payton today?
No, what did he say?
Oh. He said, Marvin Mims is itching to break out. He's looked great so far. Yeah.
Well, why don't you play him
12 snaps?
Yeah.
What is it about being in Denver that just makes every coach seem super inept?
Right?
Is it
the marijuana?
I have a question. Who are worse liars, NFL coaches or politicians?
Oh God, they're from the same cloth.
Yeah, I think it's exactly the same. You just go from one to the other, and it's fucking.
Oh yeah, he's an integral part of our team. Up, released.
Yeah,
traded.
He's a great locker room presence.
Gone. Whatever. All right.
Oh boy. Yeah. There's the only thing that I'm gonna say last on my team before we really get into the picking here is I'm not committed to the Raiders defense at Chicago. There's another defense I've been looking and toying with swapping him out. I'm not going to say it, but the Raiders haven't scored as a defense yet, other than a safety, I think. So I'm looking at the matchups and thinking about getting a team that's maybe scored before.
I mean, they've hit double digits against the Packers in New England the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, and that's why they were my primary pickup.
And they both have better quarterbacks, technically, than what Chicago's trotting out. So you're not in a bad spot with them. Anyway, all right, pick time, right? Yes.
Tyler's team is – your lineup's worse than I thought it was when you look at the projected score.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is gross.
But I don't have any confidence in my team, so.
You're picking Tyler.
Yeah.
All right.
I am going Blake, and the dice are taking me.
God. So I'm like the great equalizer here?
Sure.
Whatever you want to be. I'd call you great, though.
I am great. Let's go with the snakes. Make it 2-2.
Have doomed me.
I have doomed you.
All right, our next matchup is the 3-3 Fighting Hedgehogs versus the 4-2 Fly Eagles Fly. Hedgehogs currently projected 119, Eagles Fly projected 163. Rob, stop it. Moving on, the Hogs, Tyler, they have Kirk Cousins as their quarterback, home against San Francisco.
Oh, that's right. He doesn't set his lineup.
He doesn't set his lineup till Nick told.
So that is going to be Justin Herbert at Kansas City.
More than likely, yes.
My next statement was, Tyler, I hate that.
Yeah, just put it in there.
Yeah.
It's Herbert.
All right. Running backs, we've got Bijan at Tampa Bay, Isaiah Pacheco home against the Chargers.
Yeah, I don't see any backups here that I would play. I don't think you're going to play Gus Edwards against Detroit. That's a single digit score waiting to happen. So you're playing who you got here. I don't hate either one. Bijan gets it done through the air, so I'm not worried about him against that run defense. And Pacheco has been fine all year, you know, solidly, you know, 12, 15 points, something like that. I think he does it again this week.
Pacheco, number 11 on the year. So, I mean, I thought he was going to be fine. Coming into this season, I have him in another league, but I am thoroughly impressed with his fantasy performance and involvement in the offense. Receivers, we've got Garrett Wilson on the bye. So let's call that Jahan Dotson or Josh Palmer.
I'll tell you what, we're not calling it Jahan Dotson because there's no fucking reason that Jahan Dotson should be in a starting lineup right now. I guess you have to call it Josh Palmer.
It's Josh Palmer and DK Metcalf. Metcalf with a questionable tag coming in this week as well.
Yeah, I think Josh Palmer is another one of those guys you can pretty much chalk up 10 points. DK Metcalf, love him, assuming he's fine, which he's, you know, he's another one of those guys that seems to always be questionable. So
yeah, I think it's a rib, and he's had that forever this year, so he's fine.
And Arizona, I think we have talked about it every week. Arizona doesn't have anybody that can really cover somebody that has a special talent. I know Buda Baker is back at practice. He also opened up his 21 day window, but I think DK Metcalf has a pretty good game. So I would expect, you know, about 30 points from these receivers.
So that DK Metcalf questionable tag came in during our recording. It's a hip / ribs injury.
Oh, I didn't know the hip. Okay.
Yep. Tight end, we've got Mark Andrews home against Detroit. Christ, I don't know if you can hear my dog, but she's really going nuts at something.
She didn't like Mark Andrews, evidently.
Right, yeah, so Mark Andrews has been great. He will be fine this week.
According to Mira, bench you Mark Andrews. Flex, we've got Alexander Mattison home against San Francisco. And Tyler, do you think Tyler Algier? Or probably Tyler Algier? But, I mean, the other option, running back.
No, you're not. You're playing Gus Edwards before you play Tyler Algier. And I think you're going to have to play Gus Edwards this week.
I guess, in this lineup,
the way it's set up, you might have to play Jahan Dotson and just hope he goes for 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, because I think Detroit and Tampa are probably 2 of the worst running back matchups.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you have to play 2 of them. Dotson. All right. Well, Rob, go ahead and fly through your lineup while I go ahead and just mark that we're all taking you.
All right. I mean, Lamar Detroit is what I'm playing right now. I have McCaffrey at Minnesota on Monday night. They said the injury was not as bad as anticipated. If he comes Sunday, I'll either make the switch to Elijah Mitchell or maybe Aaron Jones, because against Denver, that's a hell of a play. Ken Walker against Arizona. A.J. Brown against Miami. Love it. Puka Nacua against Pittsburgh. T.J. Hockenson against San Francisco. Jalen Waddle at Philly. Zay Flowers against Detroit. And the Chiefs against the Chargers. Maybe not the most attractive matchup, but at home. And what Dallas did on the road, I do like the fact that they're making mistakes, that their line is not very good for the Chargers, and I do like that the Chiefs could steal a defensive touchdown here. So my only defense things, I guess, since I'll go straight into that, is I already talked about maybe Aaron Jones goes in, depending what happens to McCaffrey, and maybe Elijah Mitchell goes in.
You mean your bench things? You said defense.
Did I say defense? I meant bench things. I'm sorry.
Dude, you got to get it sorted out today.
I don't have to get shit sorted out. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. Anyway, my bench things is either going to be Elijah Mitchell or Aaron Jones in instead of McCaffrey, depending on how that pans out over the next 3 days.
All right. So you're taking yourself, I assume?
Yes.
And Tyler the Dice?
Also taking Rob.
Roger that. All right, boys. Are you ready to get into one of our premier matchups this week?
Let's do it.
It's 2 heavyweights.
Oh, my God. Is it the one I think it is?
I've been waiting all week for this. Oh. It's the Garbo Bowl.
Oh, yes, the Garbo Bowl. Let's do it.
It's the 1-5 Kegerator versus the 1-5 Scary Terry. Both these teams have had so many things fall their opponents' ways this week or this year. They are looking bad and sad. Tyler, what do you got?
This week's Garbo Bowl matchup is brought to you by $50 Fab Dump. Rob, why don't you tell us about our sponsor, $50 Fab Dump?
Oh, $50 fab dump is that when you've got all your fab and you just don't care anymore, $50 fab dump. And it can be on anybody. It can be on a scrub. It can be on a bottle of nothing. It can be on a cracker you found on the street. $50 fab dump. Do it for what the hell? Why not?
Hey, Rob, what about kickers? Can you do a $50 fab dump on a kicker?
Why not? You can't play them, but you may as well dump them.
Now, remember, everyone, we have a promo code for $50 fab dump. It's called just texting your commissioner and having him remove $50 from your fab account, because that's just as useful as whatever the fuck Nate did.
All right, let's get into this guy.
You forgot the 10% promo code. You can add 10% to that $50 fab dump by texting the code KEG. That's keg. To Blake at thisisthestupidestthingever.org.
I thought it was going to be K-I-L-L, like kill yourself. You may as well.
No, keg, as in keg.
Sure. All right, Rob. Kegerator, currently projected 128 points. He's got Jalen Hurts home against Miami at his quarterback spot. James Cook and Jonathan Taylor are his running backs at New England and versus Cleveland. Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jerry Jeudy for the receivers. Kyle Pitts at Tampa for the tight end. Roshan Johnson carrying that Q tag and Jonnu Smith at Tampa for the flex. With the Dolphins defense at Philly, I would hate, I think you should switch that one.
100%.
Hey, maybe you should have spent some of that $50 of fab on a new fucking defense.
All right. So I'll just do some highlights here. Jonathan Taylor, we've seen his workload increase every week. However, Cleveland is not the defense that you want to do that against. I don't like him. Jerry Jeudy, they're trying to trade him. I mean, can you really think he's – no, he's garbage. And you're going to play both Atlanta tight ends? Good luck with that. And Roschon Johnson may or may not play. We don't know. And Tyler already talked about the Dolphin defense. I don't even know.
Why is so bad?
I've been laughing internally since I listed them. Both Atlanta tight ends. Are you kidding me?
By the way, why is Smith-Schuster still on this roster? Why haven't you dumped him and picked up just anybody?
Because Robbie doesn't have enough fab to pick up anybody else. Picking up people costs far too much.
Far too much. Anyway, yeah, just, I mean, I want
everybody to know, since they're dumping on Nate, he had an opportunity to acquire George Kittle.
Oh, yeah.
2 weeks ago. And just decided that no price could be agreed upon.
Good enough.
What, Kittle in his one catch last week?
Or no. George Kittle and his three touchdowns 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, between the two, Kyle Pitts probably did that, but he didn't need to, like, I don't know, whatever. Two Atlanta tight ends, give me a break.
Yeah, give me a break. All right, Tyler, Scary Terry. Scary Terry, unlike piss poor management and drafting, like that has afflicted the kegerator, Scary Terry has, I've never seen a team more unlucky with injury. In fantasy, it's been bad. There's, I think there's seven out players on his team. We counted today.
Like just before you go into it, not only the injuries, but then you add in the Joe Burrow slow start where he was like garbage the first 3 weeks, and you just, okay.
It's been so bad. So Tyler, Scary Terry's got Russell Wilson, home against Green Bay. We've got Ken Gainwell and Zach Evans both at home. At the running backs, Devontae Adams and Jacoby Myers still riding that double Raider.
Because he has to.
No, I want to get an alliteration for that. Hey, Rob, workshop that for me.
Okay.
Tight end, we got Evan Ingram at New Orleans, Chris Godwin and Rashee Rice, both at home or in our flex spots with the Steelers defense at the Rams. Tyler, break her down for me.
Yeah, I mean, the wide receivers are obviously the strength of this team. Even though you're playing two Raiders, that's worked out for you so far this year, which you wouldn't have expected. And, yeah, Rob?
Double-edged Raider sword. That was the interaction I wanted. You don't love it?
I don't love it.
Double-edged, and it's a Raider sword.
But that's...
Fine. Move on.
Is this some type of Star Trek reference?
No.
But
I wanted like a double Raider something at receiver.
You guys have really ruined any momentum I had going into this matchup. What?
Well, that's okay. That's because that's fitting for Chris's
team. Both these teams have ruined any momentum they had going into this matchup. So
I will say, going into flex, Godwin, you know, still looks good. Rashee Rice. You know, he's the number one right now in Kansas City. And if there's a receiver to own in Kansas City, it's Rashee Rice. So I like that. Running backs, weak as they come. I don't think Zach Evans is the bona fide starter. Sean McVay came out today and said, we're going to go with the hot hand. And Sean McVay is actually one of those coaches that when they say something, they're generally truthful about it. So I don't think they know who's going to be the starter for the Rams this week. Kenneth Gainwell, I prefer him over Amari DiMarcado ever so slightly. But yeah, I mean, you're playing who you got this week, and you just got to hope that your receiving core carries you.
All right. I don't want to pick this one first, so I'm going to make Rob do it.
You're going to make me pick this abomination? I don't want to do this. I hate that I have to do this, but I'm actually going to, oh God, I've done this and it screwed me every time. Kegerator.
Well, you've just guaranteed him another loss.
Yeah, it's fine. I'm good with that.
Tyler?
Yeah, the Dice and I are both riding with Scary Terry.
Oh, fuck.
Mike, let's go.
You know, it hasn't worked for me this entire time riding with you. Pretty sure I've been wrong every time.
Fine, then go Terry.
I'm going to leave you alone on an island. I'm trying to win here.
Oh! Howling.
All right, our final matchup. But before we get into it, I want to just have a little sub segment here. Because as everybody knows, we drink while we record these.
Do we?
Some say allegedly.
Allegedly.
So I just wanted to have a little thing before we get into our final matchup, the Commissioner's Cup. Just say, hey, what you drinking, Rob?
Vodka and black raspberry ice.
Excellent, Tyler.
Founders French Toast Bastard, vanilla, cinnamon, maple, bourbon barrel, Scotch ale.
It sounds delicious, but I don't know if I could stomach that at 6 p.m. That's more of a 9 a.m. beer for me.
Yes, it is totally a breakfast beer, but I was feeling something dark tonight.
Excellent. I've been drinking Aldi's brand oak-aged, what was this one? It's a red wine, Cabernet.
Congrats. I bet Nate would pay so much fab for that.
It was, I believe, when we bought it, I think it was $7.
Well, Nate would pay at least 45 fab for that.
All right, Tyler, let's get into our last matchup. We got Here's Tubby, 2-4, projected 137, versus the Corn Wieners, 2-4, projected 140. This is probably our closest matchup this week.
Oh, and don't forget to mention, you teased it at the beginning.
I did tease it. It is,
yeah, come on.
The Wieners holding the Commissioner's Cup. They stole it from me in a massively disappointing defeat for my team. But congrats, Sam, on your first claimant of the Commissioner's Cup.
Agreed. Good job, Sam. Way to go.
What the fuck are you doing up there, dog? I just heard so much noise happen in the kitchen, and then my dog just came downstairs. There's no one else home. I don't know what's happening. Here's Tubby is going to play Jordan Love at Denver for their quarterback. Josh Jacobs and Alvin Kamara at their running back. Christian Kirk and Curtis Samuel are their receivers. Dallas Goedert carrying a Q tag. Home against Miami. Flexes of Travis Etienne and Christian Watson both on the road with the Niners defense at Minnesota. Tyler, break her down.
Yeah, this is a lineup of, hey, all good matchups. I love Jordan Love this week as a value play. Love Josh Jacobs this week. And, you know, obviously if I love Jordan Love, I love Christian Watson. You know, I don't love that you're stacking Jacksonville here. And I know that he also has Michael Thomas on the bench, AJ Dillon on the bench. So just a lot of potential stacks that I don't want to have. But if you're going to stack Jacksonville, you might as well stack Christian Kirk and Travis Etienne, you know, two very good players. Curtis Samuel has been very, very good this year. Sneaky good. And Dallas Goedert has been good. I can't find a glaring flaw in this lineup for a 2-4 team. You know, my team at 4-2 would easily, I think, lose to this team this week.
Yeah. I mean,
solid things going through and through, I'd say.
I mean, I would say his only spot is if Goddard doesn't play, then he's got to put Njoku in, but wow. Yeah. Real good. Tubby's getting healthy.
Yeah. Especially for a guy who has his number one draft pick on bye in Jamar Chase.
Right.
All right, Rob. Wieners. We've got Geno Smith home against Arizona at the quarterback. Running back, we have Saquon Barkley. Q, is he coming back this week?
He played last week. He had like he had like 20 touches. He's Q because they're managing his practice snaps. Okay. He played last week, yes.
That's what I mean, because I didn't watch a single lick of that Bills game after the first quarter when the Bills were not doing good. So Raheem Mostert at Philly. Fuck you, Raheem Mostert is the other running back in this lineup. Right. Take your three touchdowns and shove it up your dickhole fuck face. All right. Hey, I'm not bitter at all.
Hey, Blake, you're welcome.
I know. Thanks, Tyler. I wasn't gonna bring it up. I didn't want to have a podcast argument. But fuck you too. Receiver, Keenan Allen and Brandon Ayuk, both on the road. Hunter Henry is the tight end at home against Buffalo. He's carrying a Q tag. We've got Jordan Addison and Terry McLaurin in the flex spot with the Saints defense home against Jacksonville.
So I like this whole team. It's got good matchups all over the place, especially if Philly's still missing players on defense. Mostert is the man there. Barkley's another week removed from that ankle thing. The hole here is Hunter Henry. He didn't play very well last week and has the questionable tag. I would probably put Tyler Higbee in here instead of Hunter Henry. But yeah, I mean, you're doing pretty good. I mean, a pretty good lineup.
If Trevor Lawrence is healthy and going to play on Thursday, do you start him at New Orleans over Geno Smith?
No, I really like Tyler said, against Arizona, who likes to give up big plays, especially when it's, I'm not worried about DK not playing. You get DK out there, he's just going to – you saw what Cincinnati did against this team with a number one alpha receiver. I think that Seattle can do the same thing. And Geno's getting better and better as time goes by this year.
And then sticking on the quarterback real quick, we get Sam picked up Sam Howell this week.
He did.
At the Giants.
Yeah.
Do you swing him in there over Geno Smith and a healthy Trevor Lawrence for a Thursday night game?
I don't. I think I stick with Geno Smith. He's been playing better of late. I think he might have gotten, I don't know his bye week situation. He might have double bye week and picked him up for that. I haven't looked, but I would stick with Geno this week.
All right. Tyler, anything else to add?
No, I think, you know, the only thing I would add is that, you know, Mostert and that run game, I think Miami's going to win against Philly more through the air. Obviously, we've seen that Miami can do whatever they want, whenever they want most of the time. But, you know, I think it is more of a air raid game for Miami than a ground game this week. So I'm a little bit lower on Mostert than I think consensus.
All right, let's pick them. I am going to take the wieners here.
I, too, will take the wieners.
You know what? I think I've been on an island a couple of times. I'm going to go Tubby this week to kind of, you know, start off 0-4 and then win 3 in a row as, you know, kind of getting healthy. I think this is a really close matchup. And
It's very close. It's the closest of all of them, I think, today.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like both these teams, and I like the momentum that Wieners has going through, and I like his matchup. So
yeah, and the Dice are taking the Wieners.
All right.
All right. Anything else to add, guys, before we get out of here?
I mean, a lot of good matchups, and good luck to everybody. And God forbid whoever loses the Terry Keg Raider game, because you're 1-6 and you're probably going to get renamed next year. Good luck.
All right, Rob, I stepped on you last week, but let's play us out of here. All righty. Ba-da-da-da, ba-ba-ba-ba-da.
Small world!
Thank you guys for listening. See you guys next week.